is Digital Audio and Agency Perspective. It's developed by the IAB UK. The discussion will provide insight into how agencies view the digital audio space and explore the changing perception of digital audio within the agency environment. Please welcome the panel moderator, the International Commercial Director at TalkSport, Kurt Edwards.
You can get there.
The show must go on.
Please come on.
Thank you very much, Brad. On behalf of myself, Kurt, and the rest of the panel, we're delighted to be here. So thank you very much for inviting us along. This panel is very much focused on the agency perspective. The panel will provide an insight into how agencies view the digital audio space. But let's be quite honest. It might as well just be called, how do we make more money? Okay, because at the end of the day, we can see consumer usage is growing. All the research and evidence supports that. But ultimately, we need to make more money and we need to accelerate the growth of advertising investment very quickly in this industry, not just in the UK, but across Europe. I'd like to introduce the panel. We have, at the very end, we have Steve Hobbs. He's Managing Director of Amnet, which is the trading arm of Dentsu Aegis. We have Scott Braniff, who is the Investment Director of Havas Media, which encompasses Havas Media and Arena and has a remit for broadcast revenues. We have Georgia McGuffey, who is the Group Business Director at RadioWorks, which is the UK's leading independent radio specialist. And we have Richard Shotton as Head of Insight at Zenith Optimedia, the ROI agency. Okay, so guys, very general question to start with. Do people within your agency look at radio and digital audio very differently, or is everything now just audio?
So that's the question about structure, Kurt, right? So agency structures are a thing of great mystery. They are a thing that change on a very regular basis. And I think, for me, the thing that we've all got to kind of grapple with is actually the world is moving into, and the way we structure is around audio-visual and digital. But actually, those two things are coming together at a rate of knots as well. And in the future, and I'm talking about 18 months, 2 years, we're going to be delivering media in a single source across lots of different disciplines. So those definitions are probably artificial and no longer relevant. But there is a problem today as we skill up in that environment. So today, there is still clearly radio specialists. There are some AV specialists. There are some digital specialists. And their agendas are slightly different. And I guess what you all want to hear is, we just want a single place to go to in an agency and we're going to get the answer. And I'm afraid to say that that's not going to happen for another couple of years. For now, you've got to cover lots of bases.
I think I'd agree. I'd agree with Steve on that. It kind of reminds me of how kind of we were set up to kind of deal with video kind of a couple of years ago. We had, specialists in the broadcast TV guys, people who were looking after the digital teams, but now we have, one point of contact who is dealing with all those, dealing with all of video. So it reminds me of kind of how that was set a couple of years ago.
Yeah, same. I think it's quite difficult, especially for the platform providers, to be able to deal with all of the different people and actually get to the right person to talk to explain their digital audio offerings or their radio offerings. So what we do as a service is obviously look at those two teams and harness the way that we can bring them together and help educate the agencies on who are the people to speak to and what's the best platform for them to use.
I think overall we'd see audio as an overarching category, and then within that you've got digital audio and radio. And I think, of course, there are significant differences, but perhaps as an industry we spend too much time talking about what's different and because I think a lot of the creative fundamentals are the same between radio and digital audio.
So that might be referencing buying points, but when it comes to the internal teams who are ultimately going to drive adoption of digital audio, who is it within your agencies who are going to take on the mantra of sort of evangelising and sort of persuading clients that this is a new opportunity?
Well, I think to a large extent the planning community within the agencies are going to be the people, as they are today, who are talking to clients about where the opportunities lie and where the interesting things can be done. And I think what that moves into is an understanding of what's exciting about digital audio in the future and even today for a planner. So here I'm talking about a communications planner who spends their time really trying to figure out what a client's business problem is, what is the media solution to that potential problem, and how do they navigate a very complicated media space that exists today. And one of the ways they do that now is based on the people who can provide the most interesting routes to an audience or the most interesting insights from an audience. And I think that's where we need to start thinking about the role of digital audio as being the thing that can really excite communications planners about what used to be called radio. And I think if we can engage at that level and really think about audience at a much deeper level, we'll see some real differences.
Yeah, I think you're right. So below that level, if you're looking at kind of the day-to-day planner buyer, I mean, they're dealing with, you know, we deal with 150 digital suppliers, so having that, you know, share of mind of a day-to-day digital planner is tough. And how high digital audio on their agenda, I'm not sure if it is that high. So I think I'd agree, you know, I think the planning community is really kind of key. Mm.
For us, we look at it slightly differently because everyone that comes to us, all of our planners and buyers have to be experts in all of the different areas. But it is about being able to take some data from the digital audio market to present better studies for digital audio over maybe perhaps the main broadcast medium like radio, and actually providing more insight from the platforms as to the best use of budget, especially when you're talking about some of the smaller clients and smaller agencies where every penny really, really counts. And you can't afford to do it all, so you're picking one angle over another. So definitely anything that we can provide as an industry to actually educate better the clients that are coming to us is more helpful.
In terms of structure, we've undergone quite a big reorganisation at Zenith Optimedia. So we've moved around the buying team so to try and minimise the digital divide. So now we'll have publishing teams. Who, if any campaign has a news brand on it, they will look after it, whether it's the website or the traditional print example. And the same is happening with audio. So we'll have teams who are equally conversant with existing radio brands or the newer digital opportunities.
Okay. I mean, what we've seen from a lot of the presentations this morning is that consumer usage is massively outpacing advertiser investment. So I've got a two-part question here. There was a recent article in Campaign magazine here in the UK, a trade publication a couple of weeks ago, where it asked the question, do you think radio, digital audio as an industry is undervalued by agencies currently? And also, what do you see as the biggest barriers to clients spending more money in digital audio?
I think that's a really interesting question, but it's for me, for anyone who's worked in radio for any length of time, it's the same question that I think we were asking of radio 20 years ago. So how does radio get more budget just versus television versus out of home and versus print? And I think just because the format for listening is changing, that doesn't change the nature of that debate. For me, a lot of the opportunity for radio lies in education, so making sure people understand the new opportunities that are available, so making sure people, and I'm talking about agencies and clients, really understand the opportunities that exist in data to create interesting new audiences that haven't been available before. So that, for me, is key. So it's about understanding, but it's also about the simplicity of delivery. So at the moment, you know, we are spending a lot of our energies thinking about how to automate the buying process as much as possible. That doesn't mean removing our ability to generate interesting insights into what we do. It means just speeding up the executional process. And that's, to a large degree, what's happening in programmatic outside of online. And therein lies more opportunity to convert agencies and advertisers just by making the process simple. And the third bit I would say is the issue of creative still exists. So our ability to get ads that are really effective produced by creative agencies that clients retain is still a problem for the radio industry. And again, I think the solution to that lies in understanding much more about the audience at a much, much deeper level to be able to produce more interesting creative that really has an effect.
Yeah, and some of the, I mean, just to give you an example, some of the conversations I'm in with my kind of traditional radio advertisers and about digital audio, a lot of the time it's about, okay, well, it's going to cost me four times as much as using traditional airtime. And ideally, what you want to go back to them with is go, okay, by targeting this audience on this platform is going to have this impact on your ad awareness. So, you know, really demonstrating the value of that premium. I'm not sure if that really exists at the moment. So that's kind of really key. I think he's demonstrating the value, well, coming from a radio point of view, demonstrating the value of the premium on kind of using radio, audio. And I think the Audio Now study from the RAB is a good start. I just think we need to kind of, take it a bit further.
Yeah, agree. It's difficult sitting third because you've got all the points that I would have absolutely said. So I think ease of planning is absolutely crucial, making sure that we can deliver coherent plans across the medium and pitch them in one simple manner to all of the agencies and clients is absolutely integral to making it easier to move forward. CPMs is something else. You know, where does that sit? How do we demonstrate good value? And understanding that as well. And, you know, I think creativity too, educating as an audio medium, something that's always been quite difficult, and making sure that we can deliver creativity, like you saw with the Audi advert earlier, that actually really hits home and is super impactful, is Cree.
I think there's probably two key barriers. We've touched on the first one, which is around complexity. I mean, the complexity of buying, I think, is being helped somewhat by the development of DAX. I think there's also complexity in terms of the huge variety of different creative formats that are often needed, and I think that puts people off for trying. But perhaps the much larger issue is around proof, that if, as a medium, digital audio is going to try and command a significant premium, there's got to be proof that it merits that. Now, referring back to that campaign article you mentioned, I thought that article was a bit disappointing because the main argument that was put forward there was because it accounts for 20% of the media listing day, therefore it should account for 20% of budget. And I think there's a lot more powerful arguments than merely one of equality of time.
It's interesting on an agency panel, three of you came back to price. It always happens, doesn't it? Steve, you're the only one on the panel who was in media 20 years ago, so I'm going to ask you a question. So, if we were having that debate 20 years ago and it hasn't moved on, fundamentally, are we just missing a trick as an industry of we failed in terms of coming up with a convincing argument? Because we can't keep on having it.
Well, I think, when you look back 20 years, the radio industry was on a mission, wasn't it? The mission, if anyone can remember, was to get to being a 5% medium. And it was at 2.5% or 3%. And it got there, and it got there relatively quickly by focusing on very, very key things, which was educating creative agencies and having a compelling story for agencies and advertisers. And that compelling story was built upon the fact that radio is a very personal medium. And it was, you know, there's charts that I could draw for you now that I can still remember, which talk about how radio is close to people in a way that television is not. And that really helped galvanise the agency sector to sell to advertisers. And I think it was very effective. And I actually don't think the solution is very different. It's just that the mechanics around it are. So the mechanics around it are we have much more data available that's more real-time, that's much more attainable than it ever was, as opposed to, obviously, RAJAR or survey data, which is always has a latency. So we're actually now to be able to build a much richer picture of how close radio is to people that we could use to sell. But I'm not sure we have a collective view of that at the moment. I think not everybody, but there's lots of people trying to do different things in the space to try and sell in a slightly different way, which isn't necessarily helping.
As a panel, would you agree, is the overriding impression from the industry is that we're all saying different things and we're not lined up, we're not joined up in trying to grow the industry, and we're all saying different things trying to compete with each other?
Yeah, I think it is. I think a kind of more combined force and viewpoint would definitely help, and bringing all of the different platforms together to kind of deliver one offering to an agency would certainly help to clarify the process and to give people more reason to interact and buy. And I think when you look at things like the data that we have available from the IPA, it's understanding why the different mediums should always work separately and together at the same time. And it's really back to looking at those clients, looking at what is going to be best for them, and then selling them the solution around that.
Okay.
I think Richard mentioned about the launch of DAX. That was a great opportunity for us to go to clients and just have this conversation about digital audio. And it was very simple for them to understand. These are the publishers. This was the system, how to deliver it. I mean, yeah, so that was kind of a good way of getting digital audio back onto kind of clients' radars again.
George, I'm going to come back to you with an individual question
about how clients are evaluating the opportunity. Obviously, Radio Works, as a radio specialist, has a bias towards, so we say, smaller to medium enterprises.
Yep.
Are they evaluating digital audio differently from the bigger radio advertisers?
I think probably more carefully, because, as you know, with these smaller advertisers, they don't have mass budgets. And so every single penny counts to what they're trying to achieve and what they're trying to deliver. And I think, again, it's a cluttered market and everyone is vying for their attention. So it's about taking them on the journey and educating them about what is the right choice for them as an advertiser. But I think even more carefully they're choosing how they spend their money.
Okay. So with regards to coming back to the price point about understanding the value, digital audio in the UK, and I'm sure it's in most European markets, tends to command a higher cost per thousand than traditional radio, lots of elements to support that targeting and so on. How, with agencies now more focused on buying audiences rather than platforms, how are you evaluating that opportunity internally? Just start here.
I think there'll probably be a broad agreement that there are numerous arguments that digital audio justifies a higher premium, so lower levels of clutter, the targeting, the 3D audio potential. However, what I think is still missing maybe is some of the, rather than relying on just intuition and logic that those things are superior, is some proof to show how much return on investment can be generated. So you take, for example, the issue of clutter. There's some phenomenal opportunities, things like, I think Spotify only has 2 minutes an hour of ads, Acast only has a minute of an hour. Now, I fundamentally believe that will lead to better performance for a campaign, but I've not yet seen any proof which kind of quantifies the value of lower cluttered environments.
Okay.
I think it's a little bit, again, you know, back to the education and exactly what you're saying about delivering proper case studies and having that data set behind you, and understanding the benefits and the results and basically the return on investment that you're going to get for each pound spent, and really how that sits across the audio spectrum, including radio. And I think the IPA have recently released, or some of the studies and some of the data that they have is reach as well, understanding reach and then understanding highly targeted, and what's the right combination of both, and how do you harness that? So again, it's difficult to comment on campaigns as a whole, because I think every single campaign is different and quite generic. But really looking at those key things for each campaign and understanding what is the right platform to deliver them the best cost per response.
Okay.
Yeah, I kind of agree with what people are saying. Logic kind of suggests that it should command a higher premium, but it's kind of having that proof to kind of go back to clients with. I think that's kind of key.
Yeah. I risk going into a rant here of being the old git on the panel.
Don't hold back, please.
I've worked in advertising and media for quite a long time, and I've worked in the latter part of my career, I've worked in digital. And I think it's really interesting that where we've gone in digital is down a route which says that everything is measurable, although it's not actually measurable, but we say that everything's measurable, so let's try and measure everything. And we've sort of, along that journey, we've forgotten how advertising works. And obviously for performance advertisers, if people are trying to generate a click or a conversion through sending someone to a home, to a destination page, that kind of makes sense. But what about brands? You know, we try and build brands all the time. That's predominantly where most of the advertising money is spent. And brands are not built by people doing something as a consequence of seeing an advert. Brands are built by the way that impacts on people's subconscious. And so I ask everyone to caution the desire to measure everything. And obviously the ROI agency are going to do that, and fair play. But I think it's important to understand that advertising doesn't work on that level all the time. We have to think about the subconscious impact. Things are going to take longer to have an effect. And perhaps we need to talk to our clients at that level, as well as talking to them about the measurable elements of what we do.
Doesn't that start at the agency, though?
Because it's the agencies
that want to measure everything.
Oh, no. Don't get me wrong. This is a rant I have internally a lot as well. So, because I think that we've all collectively taken our eye off that longer-term ball in terms of talking to our clients about what they're actually trying to do versus the short-term effect of what they're trying to do.
I agree with a lot of what you're saying.
My only difference would be it's not a issue of should you measure or not. We should always be measuring the effect and impact of campaigns. It's making sure you've got the right measurement system. So fundamentally agree that if you measure a medium like digital audio or radio on short-term metrics, you're massively underselling it. I think that just means the challenge should be about monitoring the effect on brand metrics or predispositioned brands.
To Scott and Steve, I mean, picking up on the audience thing, what we've seen in the US market is a very speedy and good adoption of programmatic audio. We, yourselves at Amnet, went live in France a couple of weeks ago. We're hoping that that's going to be coming to the UK market very soon. I've been told by Christmas, for sure. Are we getting too excited, or should we be excited?
No, we should definitely be excited, simply because I think it will help to answer a lot of the things I've already talked about, which is our ability to understand much more about a specific audience, send that specific user a specific message that has more effect, and we can scale from there because the volume of listening is clearly there. The technology is the enabler. The technology is not, forgive me, Triton, but the technology is not the exciting bit. What's exciting is what you can do with the audience. And, yeah, absolutely, we should be excited about that.
Yeah, I think the opportunity is huge. I think needs to be careful is kind of the smaller advertisers, the smaller clients who kind of maybe aren't in this space. I'm sure George will agree with that. Kind of, you know, might need the concept of just digital audio landing in the first place. I still think there's a huge job just to land the concept of digital audio within agencies. And I think, I agree, the opportunity is huge, but I still think there's kind of quite a lot of work to do there within planning communities.
That's going to lead me on to data. I mean, obviously, the big attraction of a lot of digital audio is the data, the potential levels of targeting. What data do you think will be key that you want to see from digital audio and that sort of advertisers are really after? Is it geo? Is it gender? Is it age? Is it device? What are the key factors that you think are going to make a big difference?
It'll be the same types of data that we see that are making online campaigns successful. So it is about an audience, being able to segment that audience in a much deeper way. Geo is interesting because how you can then dovetail that to other campaigns, particularly out-of-home campaigns, becomes a very interesting way of buying media. So I kind of think it's pretty broad what data can provide for us, and it's very similar to what we use already in other media.
Mm-hmm. What tends to be the most requested data point in terms of a lot of display advertising across programmatic?
The most valuable data is a client's own data. So whatever you can create or whatever you can do with that data will add enormous value to what we can do in radio. So it's just ensuring that whatever solutions we create, we can overlay clients' own data on that. Because that data is obviously, it's more recent, it's more interesting, it's obviously more pertinent to a specific client, and it's probably more directional in terms of being able to understand what we need to do as a consequence.
Georgia, data, I mean, your thoughts?
Yeah, sales data. That's what we need. I think, you know, back to those case studies and what we're after and what we're trying to educate and deliver to our clients is interactivity, how they can see the benefit from advertising on these services, and actually what they're going to get for those higher CPMs. And actually that's what we need to be providing them as an industry to then get them bought in.
A lot of you guys have touched on insight already, but I want to ask a specific question about that. Until recently, there's been a real shortage of depth of research here in the UK, and a lot of the big studies have come out of the US. That is obviously being addressed with the RAB Audio Now, IAB and Radar. What insight specifically are clients and agencies looking for? What is the real killer insight that we as an industry need to deliver? Let's start.
I think the killer insight is always going to be at the heart of it. Will a pound be invested here be better than a pound invested elsewhere? I think that's not the big issue. The issue is one of, well, how do you make that credible and believable? Because every person in the debate has a vested interest. And there always used to be a joke about media buyers and planners would say, spend more, it's the answer now, what's the question? Now, I think for any evidence coming from a media owner or from a trade body, there's a similar issue of credibility. You know, people are always going to think, well, you would say that, wouldn't you? And I think the way, there's a couple of ways to get around that, but perhaps the most important one is rather than just show data that shows a pound invested in digital audio will generate a superior return to elsewhere, you've got to prove the underlying mechanisms. So prove that, you know, the lower level of clutter will deliver better return, or that the context, you know, listening to an involved, high attentive listener listening to a detailed podcast is probably a more valuable listener than listening to kind of streamed radio. But again, you just need credible proof of that.
Okay, I'm not asking a lot then. Jordan?
No, I totally agree. I think, you know, we're going quite heavily into data, but the emotive powers of music and music streaming, and I think some of the interesting things, particularly that Spotify are doing with the audience and kind of collating those people, and actually what you can pull from that is quite fascinating. And I wish we could just fast forward a couple of years to see actually how we're using that as advertisers and how it's flowing forward. But I think at the moment, the numbers can be a little bit of a problem. So it's kind of going, that is great and really exciting. Let's go back to what we've got now, and then let's look at how we can develop that for the future.
A question to both of you guys. In the trading space, more trading platforms, are you after different? You're obviously after different types of insight. Is that something more sort of media owners can help with?
I think the insights that we tend to work with are ones that are generated by clients, actually. So they're the ones where, you know, we learn about what's worked, what hasn't, what's driven someone to do something, what's the journey that someone's gone on to a client's site, and that's why a client's data is really valuable. And I don't really see that as being much different. From a pure trading perspective, the thing that I'd be really interested in is there a difference in value between curated and non-curated content? So there I'm talking about the difference between a show that's put together by a station and or a presenter versus a playlist that's put together by Spotify or Pandora and that's sent out there, or a playlist that's created by an individual. And is there a difference in the value in those two things? Because my instinct is that there is a difference, but I couldn't tell you which way or which should be stronger, which should be weaker, or whichever way around it is. And I think those two routes are actually quite different from a brand engagement perspective.
I think that's just a really interesting point Steve just made. I think those are the kind of insights we need. Is a 30-second spot on Capital, how does that, you know, compare to, you know, an ad on Spotify? I think those kind of insights and how they compare and the differences in the value between the two is, really important. I think that's really interesting.
So look, we haven't touched on mobile, and again, mobile has dominated a lot of the discussion today, as has music, by the way. I'm going to be a big champion for sport and tech and speech-based radio and podcasting. It's the future. So with regards to mobile, streaming was very much a desktop phenomenon when it sort of started out, but it has very quickly become a mobile trend and mobile behaviour. So, and obviously, agencies are spending a lot of money in mobile and they're spending it very quickly. So how can we take advantage of that growth of investment that your agencies are spending in mobile?
Yeah. Mobile's obviously been a huge growth area. I think a lot of that has... clients have been very excited by some of the unique opportunities mobile offers. So obviously the most basic level, location data. And I think if there's a learning to be taken that... For digital audio, it'd be to focus on the unique opportunity mobile offers. And what's probably most unique is around the fact that most listening on mobile will be done through headphones. And I think areas like 3D audio are phenomenal opportunities to make audio creative much, much more impactful.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, 3D audio is a fantastic thing. And knowing your environment and knowing where you are and then being able to tailor your messaging to that person and locate them, and I'm loving some of the click-through things that you can do now, obviously, with your mobile and with your audio pre-roll, and the fact that, you know, you are so much more engaged with that piece of content, and if you have an audio pre-roll, there's a lot more that you can say rather than just having a display that clicks up. So understanding the benefits between just a display on your mobile and then actually giving the audio element to it as well is huge. And actually harnessing what platforms you're choosing. You know, you talk about some of the sport content and how you can engage with that, or some of the podcasts, and how you can target that really core audience that is specifically related to your product on mobile is just outstanding.
Mm-hmm. I think there's still kind of a more overarching piece on around consumption trends and educating. Our digital planners, I think it is their responsibility, but I'm not sure how many of them know that audio rivals social and internet consumption on a smartphone. So I think as the Audio Now piece, and I think as a body, RAB, we should really kind of do that big education piece around consumption trends.
I've got two thoughts on mobile that... I'm kind of cautionary. I've been a bit cautionary today, but I'll continue. The two things I would caution about mobile is I believe that mobile advertising is somewhat behind where its share of consumption, if that's the way to describe it, as people have been describing for many years, particularly obviously people who work in the mobile industry, and they're very frustrated by that. There's a clear reason for that, and the reason is that it's very hard to produce advertising that doesn't annoy the shit out of people on mobile phones. And the reason I say that is because the mobile device is the most... deeply personal device, medium, platform, whatever you want to call it. And if you get that wrong, if you get the communication wrong, you're really going to baffle that consumer, and it's not going to enhance the product of any description. So you have to be very careful with that. And the second cautionary note I would say about mobile, thinking about it separately, is there is a temptation to think about geolocation as a real advantage and something that's going to be really powerful and very interesting. And I fully agree with that. But I also warn against going hyper-local. If you go too local and too small, then by definition you're not talking to big enough numbers. The revenue for broadcasters won't be there. The performance won't be there for advertisers either. So whatever we do, we have to think of scale as well as short-term and local impact. But I have to say that, of course, in the audio sector, mobile is going to become, if it's not already, a massively influential element. And to Scott's point, I'm just not convinced that treating it and thinking of it as something separate to audio is an appropriate way to think. I think you need to think about it as audio first, and mobile happens to be the platform that delivers it.
Thank you. Final question to you guys before we open it to the floor. So a quick answer from you all, if we can. So recently, press has done a very good job, newspapers have done a very good job of going in and sort of re-exciting people about the press opportunity. One could say TV companies have done a really good job over the last 12 months in terms of getting people excited about the creative opportunities again, and digital out of home have done a great job. Are there any learnings that you can share with the digital audio industry from other media that you think we should take on board to get agencies excited? So a very quick answer from you all.
I think the biggest issue for me in terms of any proof about a particular medium is that point of credibility. And Thinkbox have a phenomenal presentation in which they've managed to get around that issue. They come and present to the agencies a whole raft of econometric data showing that TV is recognised as the highest ROI generating medium, which you'd kind of expect them to say. And then their very clever reveal is all the data they've shown so far is from the RAB or is from Newsworks. And I think clever tricks like that to generate that sense of independent verification as a route to credibility are very strong.
Okay.
I would just say demystifying the industry and working more as one to deliver more pieces of research that actually back up everything that we know and that everyone's saying.
I think to your point, credibility. I think don't, like the newspaper industry, don't underestimate like the power that your brands have and they kind of have in it, whether it's on air, a radio station or online. I think don't lose sight of the power of a radio station, of your audio brand, because I think that sometimes can get lost when we're talking about programmatic trading and digital. I think you've still got to really, really focus on that side of things as well.
And for me, it's about education and understanding as we move into a different world and consumers are interacting with audio products in a different way.
OK. Thanks very much, Ryan. We've got time for two questions. Any questions from the floor? One at the back.
So my question is, should broadcast audio, digital audio, be measured in the same way using the same currency? While different, one is a one-to-many medium, one is a one-to-one medium. Is there a need from the advertising community to have them measured using? is of conducting business, transacting business.
So are advertisers caught up in the different types of measuring from digital and broadcast? I'm going to throw it to you first.
I think there's a very strong argument for having a universal currency, because once advertisers know that their peers are spending a certain percent with a medium, it creates, rightly or wrongly, quite a strong pressure to spend at similar levels. And I think video on demand has benefited from that. Once advertisers knew that their peers were spending about 10%, there was a rush to get up to that level, and it became an ever-rising benchmark.
Anyone else want to?
Yeah, I fully agree that a universal currency would make a big difference.
Yeah, agreed.
Well, 30 seconds left. Any last question?
What would be your guess 10 years from now? How relevant is traditional radio still?
I think it will be interesting to see. I think what we can glean from the research that has been done so far is that traditional radio very much plays still has a space. You know, reach in this country is at 90%. And it's quite interesting. I think it's more relevant about the hours and what will happen to the hours of traditional radio and how we'll spend that time. But I think most people want their live content. They want someone who's going to not make them think too much and have that process. And actually, we're seeing quite a lot of the platforms adopt what they do to help to engage their audience better and for longer. So for the moment, I think there's still very much a place for it.
I think any time a new medium comes along, there's always this belief
that it will kill its predecessor, whereas I think through 1,000 years of media history, that's never happened. You know, TV didn't kill cinema, the internet won't kill print. I don't think video on demand is going to kill TV, despite all the predictions that it would. All it means is that historic medium takes a slightly different niche.
Yeah, I mean, to your point, Richard, traditional radio has already seen off CDs. It saw off personal stereo players before that and cassettes. Why won't it continue? Although, obviously, Kurt showed us that it's going to be in eight years' time, it's going to cross over.
That's it. But thank you very much for the panel, and thank you to everyone else.